Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Hi guys, happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts Amelia
and Beth.
And can I just say, Beth, I am so excited because this is our first time recording here since college came out. And I got here in record time.
Oh, you mean when the students weren't all in your way in traffic? And
correct, yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
College is finally over.
I'm like, did I miss a movie that released? And
No. I made it here in 50 minutes. Usually it takes me an hour 35, so I'm feeling
excellent.
Pretty good.
I want to say I left at 4, I got here at 5:40, so rainy night coming up through the city.
It's very rainy.
Yeah. Some nights are just like that, but I'm glad that all the college kids are finally out of your way.
Me too, even though we love the college kids.
Oh, and especially all of their ghost stories.
Yes.
Because we have lots of colleges in Boston, in case you didn't know.
Yes. Okay, so this week we're going over something kind of cool we did. We went to a haunted mansion turned into apartments in Beverly, Massachusetts, and we had a lot of fun.
We did. We went over to a home in Beverly, and it is rented by Sarah and Mike, and it's a first floor apartment out of what? There are 8 units in the whole building?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and so they have the first floor, and then they have space in the basement and space in the attic, and so we checked out a whole bunch of it over a few hours that we were there.
We did, and it was great, and my friend James set it up for us, so thank you, James, and thank you so much, Sarah and Mike, for hosting us. Not only did we have a great time looking for ghosts, but we had some really great food. They were so kind. They made us some salsa and some guacamole, and it was amazing. And we wish everyone, if you're listening and you want us to come and do a ghost hunt at your place, we're okay if you make us food while we're there.
Especially if it's donuts.
Yes. If you know how to make homemade donuts, then go for it. Some of the interesting stuff about this home. So it's one of the oldest mansions in Beverly, which is a pretty old part of Massachusetts. And it was, they were telling us while we were there that when it was originally built, there were hiding grounds for people escaping from the Underground Railroad. So there's a tremendous amount of history. Their apartment, which is actually pretty spacious, it's a very big unit. Their kitchen was the size, 1/3 the size of the kitchen of the original house. So it's just a huge sprawling manor, I guess you could even call it. And it was beautiful and fun and spooky, and we had a really nice time.
The house was very much like a cabin in the woods that you might go to if you were a hunting type. And it had lots of dark wood grain to it. There were wood floors. There was a big fireplace right there that we got a fire going in. It was very, very cozy.
Yeah, it was great. It was an all-rock fireplace. And it's a beautiful spot. It's up on a hill. They're putting a new development in right around it. But some of the history, again, so, you know, you have the Underground Railroad, you have this being one of the oldest mansions in the United States with a lot of servants in and out of there, a lot of slaves escaping the South, going through there, heading up to Canada. And then later, it became a dormitory for Endicott College. Then there was some incidents with Endicott that I found online, excessive partying in this home. So the owner stopped the lease to Endicott. There was an incredible amount of damage done. And actually, I forgot a piece. Before that, there was also a major fire. So a lot of the original home had been destroyed and rebuilt, but there's still a lot of remaining pieces from that original home. Which, it's interesting, you know, I mean, it's not often that you, at least not in this country, have the opportunity to go into a house this old. And when you think about how much history goes on over years and years and years, centuries, it's pretty cool. It's interesting.
Yes, it was definitely an interesting property. We drove around up to Beverly and we went in, and I got there first, and I'm like driving around, like, these are all new construction homes, and there's nothing here that looks like an apartment building, and I think I'm in the wrong place. And I called Amelia, and she's like, hang on, I'm just a couple of minutes up the street. And then she drives up, and she's driving around, and it was, you had to go like down, you know, like turn off the paved road onto the unmarked path and go down past the broken down bus and take a left and then go up the hill and behind the shrubs. And so it was definitely right from the get-go when we got there, it was a little creepy trying to find the place and trying to actually like navigate in.
That's true. And then when we got there, I would say I thought it was a little, I don't think I had made up my mind when I walked through the front door whether or not I really thought it was haunted. But Beth, you felt stuff right away.
I did. So we walked in the front door. Sarah was very nice and she greeted us right there at the door. We weren't sure which door to go in. And we came through the little foyer area and actually into the apartment. And so we turned right inside the door and went into the family room, the den, the whatever people are calling it these
living
days.
Room.
The living room. And as soon as I went in there, it was, I had that pressure on my chest. And I just kind of, as I stood there, I just felt for a little while. And there was absolutely something there in the room with me. It didn't have any sort of malevolent feeling to it. It was just there. So Amelia was talking with Sarah and Mike and they were, you know, moving around. And I don't really recall what they were talking about because I was just so busy kind of like standing in that one place and just feeling what was going on. So then as we kind of kept going, Amelia and Sarah and Mike had all kind of rounded up and they were talking. And as I stood there, there was a distinct feeling of someone coming over and like brushing my left arm very gently with their fingers as though they were saying like, hi, just trying to get my attention, but not try and frighten me about it. And so I certainly felt it. And I even pulled out my camera and I took a picture of myself, hoping that I would get whoever it was who was touching me on the picture as well. I didn't. And then I took another picture in the direction that I had kind of hoped it had gone and still didn't get anything in the picture. But it definitely set my expectations pretty high for the property.
Yeah, and that's unusual for you, Beth, because I had never heard you say before that you've felt something touch you.
So no, I don't usually get touched by things in houses, but it has happened.
Okay.
It's not a completely unknown phenomenon to me.
Right. What was really cool to me and very interesting and part of the reason why obviously we were invited there was because of what this couple had been experiencing in the home. And some of that is they had heard loud white noise late at night. They felt spirits, especially when going to the restroom, to the point where they actually don't – they go with each other when, you know, late at night walking around the apartment. They're kind of always together.
It's young love.
It is, and it's adorable, and they're a very, very sweet couple, and we had such a lovely time with them. But one of the things that Sarah began telling me about was a previous set of ghost hunters in the property prior to them moving in, and they said they were able, I think they went with a spirit medium, and they were able to gather some names, one of whom was Agatha, who went in, and what was really interesting to me, and I wish I knew the group that went in there, and if you're listening to this and you're the group who went in there, please contact us immediately, because one thing they said they found is that they captured things on thermal imaging. Someone did a thermal imaging recording, and they said they were actually able to, while someone was standing there talking, presumably trying to get an EVP, they, all of a sudden surrounding them, they got blue imaging lighting up around them and the size of bodies. One that was interesting to me that Sarah talked about is she said one of them was extremely tall, the extremely tall man. Now, depending on how you view things or whatever, typically when demonic spirits will show up on thermal imaging or through shadows or anything like that, typically they present themselves at over 6'6". So that is very tall. Whenever we get kind of feedback on those from a lot of people, they say it's usually between 6.5 feet to 7.5 feet tall. So that was interesting that they did have a very, very tall man, they call it, in addition to some children and another person. So to me, that was interesting. I know a lot of groups who use thermal imaging, and I know very few who have ever really gotten anything of any substance off of it. I believe that she had said they also got an EVP down there. And so that was really cool and interesting. Yeah, so we kind of walked around the house. We began by going upstairs to the attic, which felt to me a little cooler. That's where I started getting the vibes, especially there was like a window. There was a red chair up there. But we did some recording. We didn't get anything. We took some photos. Didn't get anything on the photos. From there, we went down. We went into the garage, and we got nothing there.
No, there was nothing out in the garage. While we were up in the attic, though, one of the things that I started seeing is as I was taking pictures, it was like there were orbs on my camera as I was trying to take the picture. But then when I actually saw the picture, they weren't there. So it was like there were things moving around that my camera could see but couldn't catch in the photo.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it felt a lot of times we were in this home is, you know, we kind of hear things or, you know, I had the same thing that happened to Beth and seeing like orbs and stuff that happened to me down when we went into the basement. And again, my camera was unable to capture any of the stuff I had seen or different like clicks and things like that. We have so much recording we've been going through, both video and audio. And there are certain points where you're like, everyone's like, oh, what's that? And there's nothing there. Like on what we've recorded, it doesn't pick any of that up. So I would say, we went upstairs, we came back down, we went to the garage, we walked around the downstairs interior. We took a quick break for drinks and chips, which was fantastic. And that's when we headed down into the basement. Now, Beth, do you want to describe a little what the basement was like?
So you go down these almost like spiral basement stairs. They go around. So by the time you get to the bottom, you're really kind of disoriented about which way is the front of the house and which way is the back of the house. And I found that no matter how long we were down there, I couldn't get a sense of which was the front and which was the back. So we came down to the bottom of the steps and I had brought my temperature reader. I had brought
thermometer, as it's called by scientists.
I had brought my thermometer, and as we came down the stairs, we had been, as Amelia had her little chips and wine break, we had been up in front of the fireplace. And so I knew that my thermometer reading was not going to be accurate for a little while. But Amelia did say as we were going down the stairs, she's like, oh, I noticed a definite temperature drop. So I had it out and ready. And so it was 70 degrees when we got downstairs. And so as you come off the bottom of the stairs, you're almost in a like basement lobby type area. And to the right, there's a laundry room. And then in front of you, there are two small utility rooms, for lack of a better word. One of them had a toilet in it with ducks on the toilet seat, which is kind of weird.
And we have photos of that. Maybe we'll post. I don't know. The toilet's kind of gross. The ducks are pretty funny. We'll zoom in. It's okay. We'll zoom in.
It'll just be a duck picture. Yeah, you won't even know what it is if you didn't listen to the podcast. You go down, like, there's this long hallway that has the heating apparatus on one side of it, and then apparently the old toilet storage room on the other side. And then
this place is like Toilet City. There's the duck one. There's the room with like seven toilets in it. And then upstairs in their apartment, they have two bathrooms, one of which I believe has two toilets in it, right?
It had two showers in it.
Two showers. That was right. They have three showers in their apartment and two bathrooms, which I'm jealous of. I'm very jealous of that.
So yeah, as you get into the basement, it was definitely a little bit cooler, but I wasn't sure actually if it was a matter of objective temperature change or just we had been sitting in front of the fire upstairs and we were all warm and cozy and now we were coming down into this kind of damp basement. So we went off to the right into the laundry room and we started over there. And so when you're in the laundry room, for some reason there's a pool table. And it had pool balls on it. And so Amelia's friend James took it upon himself to pick up the pool stick and start batting the pool balls around, which did give us an opportunity to take some pictures of some different things on the pool table. And one of the things that we got when we it was actually on the video camera. There are these weird, like, bright spots on the pool table that...
Like, glowing.
Yes.
Glowing on the video recorder. And I have backup that I took with a camera, and those spots are not there. So it's not, like, a weird stain that showed up weird. It's not some weird trick of light that could have happened. Those spots don't correspond with any of the lights that were down there. So that's cool. And that was very interesting. And I'm really happy that we have those photos to go along with the video, so that way we can kind of prove something there.
Yes. It's definitely, it was something that kind of stopped me dead in my tracks as I was watching the video. So as we had walked into the laundry room, Amelia and I both, like, looked at each other like, oh, there is definitely something here. And so I had that same kind of heavy, thick feeling that I have a tendency to feel when there's something going on near me. And Amelia, at the same time,
had the same thing. I was super lightheaded. I started feeling like I was going cross-eyed. We did have some grounding crystals on us this time. But still, I mean, it was very overwhelming. I'd say in different parts of the basement, it felt different, but that first room, the laundry room, is where it really felt the thickest, if you will.
I think that's a good description for it. There was something there. And I believe that the laundry room is actually directly underneath the living room.
Yes.
Okay. So it was that same kind of feeling that I had on both floors at that end of the structure, the residence.
Yeah, so we kind of went through, we looked around, there were probably like 5 or 6 different rooms within this basement. We did 3 separate EVPs. Now, we're going to play some of what we got. Unfortunately, one of the things that we found out when looking back is, as I'm talking into the recorder, there were 5 of us, and 5's a party, you know?
And 5 has a lot of nervous energy.
And 5 likes to shuffle. We are going to play the EVPs that we got. And we would love to hear your feedback on it, because there are 2 spots that we cannot prove 100% what it is that we're hearing. Could it be someone moving? Could it be a stomach growling on one of them? Or what? Yeah, we're just not sure. So... this is the first one in one of the rooms. Now, if you listen to me when I first listened to it, and I listened to it like 1,000 times, and I don't know, because now it sounds kind of different to me now that I've heard it on the computer and in the studio, but as I'm asking, can you turn any of the lights on and off? And I think I hear it say no. But we're going to let you guys judge. So here's some of that part. So we are here in the basement. Is there anyone down here with us? We're recording right now. We may not be able to hear you now, but we can hear you on our recording. Were you part of the Underground Railroad? How long have you been here? Did you die here? What is your name? Can you make any of the lights turn on and off? Can you make any sounds we can hear? Are you the one who's been shutting the doors late at night? How many of you are here? Do you want to go home? Okay, So what do you, I mean, Beth, you kind of heard it. And I feel like you also were, you know, when I played it for you, we were listening. It doesn't pick up the, what I hear as a no on the camcorder. But again, is that what it's saying? Is it just someone shuffling around?
I don't hear any sort of voice. I don't hear any sort of no. There's a something, but it's nothing that I can interpret beyond a reasonable doubt to say like, oh yes, that's a voice. It's not like the one that was at that building in Wellesley where you asked,
are you the one turning the sinks on and off?
Or can you turn the sinks on and off? And it said no.
Right.
Like it was certainly not.
Definitely not that clear. Right. Without question, it was not that clear. So that one is a maybe. To me, that's a maybe. But, you know, again, we'd love to hear what you guys think. So as we kept going, we walked all the way into the back of the basement. So Sarah and Mike had never been back that far before. Beth, do you want to describe kind of like the feeling back there, especially that back room?
Oh, I want to describe the whole thing because this was like the weirdest, creepiest basement thing that I think I've ever been in. So it was an old like preschool, nursery school, daycare setup, and they had like these little cubby rooms on either side of a central hallway, and they were all painted in these like bright, cheery, like daycare preschool type colors, and they had little pegs on the walls where they could hang their coats, but the whole thing was clearly abandoned, and it was wet, and it was smelly, and it just, oh, the whole thing was just heartbreaking because I'm just imagining like my own son being in something like this. Like there's no windows, that like it was terrifying. And so as you walked through, we did encounter a couple of stray beer cans, which were probably, now that you mentioned it, left over from the Endicott kids. But when you got all the way to the back, you come into this room that's pretty much as wide as all of the little cubby rooms and the hallway that you used to get there. And there was this creepy couch that was down there in that area of the basement. And Amelia's friend James is like, you know, can you imagine if somebody were to sit up from that couch?
And we were all like, no, don't say that.
Yeah, it was definitely frightening. So beyond that little room that we're all standing in, there was actually another room out behind that. And there was some sort of energy, some sort of feeling that I didn't need to go into that room. I couldn't even bring myself to like come up to the door to that room. And it's true. I am a big chicken pants. And, you know, like this is ghost hunting, but this is not have nightmares for the rest of my life. So I couldn't go through. And so Amelia was like, well, let's go in the other door, because there were two doors into this weird hidden back room. And she went over and looked in the other door and she goes, oh, well, there's a circle on the floor.
Yeah. So there was a giant circle on the floor. It was not a small thing. We couldn't make out exactly what it was. It looked like it could have been caused by water. Now, if you are familiar with water spots, I mean, how big would you say a typical water spot is on the floor of basement? Maybe a foot maximum?
Well, I guess it would depend on a lot of different things. The right. Number one thing being how level is your floor. And that floor was not particularly level or well kept.
So exactly.
It should definitely not have had a circular shape to it.
Especially not one that was probably 5 or 6 feet in diameter. I mean, it was large, and it was a perfect circle. Now, to me, that's a red flag. We don't do demons on this podcast, as everyone knows. I do have a pretty, definitely not expert. I would say I know a fair amount about the occult.
Okay.
I know.
You have a working knowledge of the occult?
I have a working knowledge of the occult. I know more than most people know about the occult. It's something that really interests me, as all religions interest me, but, you know, being around here and, you know, being a card reader and all the other stuff I do, you just kind of happen to learn a lot about that stuff along the way. So if I see a perfect circle at the end part of a basement that we are feeling icky in, that to me is kind of, indicative of possible satanic rituals having been conducted there prior. So I just didn't want to go in there. It, again, like Beth said, the floors are uneven. For there to be a perfect circle is just too weird. Do you remember the band A Perfect Circle?
No.
They were big when I was probably in like middle school, beginning of high school. They had
we'll
like
sing something by them.
I don't remember it, but they and I had their CD. I know I did, and I can't. My brother still has it somewhere, I'm sure. But it's yeah. I was this is has nothing to do with ghost hunting, but I have a friend who's a gallery director, and I went to an opening there, and she's like, "You want to go see A Perfect Circle tonight?" I'm like, "No, why?" She's like, "Because they're trying to give away tickets to their show, and no one wants to go." We didn't end up going either, but I just said A Perfect Circle and it just reminded me of that. All right. Well, so, anyway, but we did do – so we didn't go all the way back there. We did do an EVP right next to it though. Now, in this one, we did not get any voices. What we did get is at one point, I believe what we ask is like, can you make a sound or a noise, something like that. And when I asked that, all of a sudden there was this high-pitched ringing in my ears. To me, it was very distinct. And it was like the second that I stopped asking the question. And, I just went over and we finished doing the EVP recording. And then when we're done, I go, when I asked that, did anyone else get the ringing in their ear? And James, interestingly, said, yes, he definitely did. When Beth and I went over our footage today, you can actually, you can't hear like a high-pitched noise, but you can hear something.
There's a buzz.
There's a buzz that all of a sudden picks up right when I ask that question, mm-hmm. and then it goes away as the questions continue. So that was interesting, and we will play that here.
Is anyone down here with us? Can you make any of the lights turn on and off? Can you make any noise? Do you like staying here?
Are you curious about Sarah and Mike? What are you whispering about?
No, I said we're good people.
Oh, we're good people. They want you to know that they're good people.
Have you been here a long time? What is your name? All right, we're going to leave you now.
Okay, so from there, we kind of turn around. We head back into the laundry room, and that's where we do kind of our final EVP session of the evening. Three things that weird happened during our EVP. So the first is we were able to check our thermometers again. So now the temperature is down to 62 degrees, so we have a 10-degree drop since we went down there. But like Beth said, some of that could have to do with the thermometer just not picking up and reading as fast because it was by the fire. A couple times while we were down there, our K2 reader had gone off. And actually, we totally forgot to mention this, but I have video of this too, is while we were upstairs enjoying our chips, the K2 kept going crazy
mm-hmm.
to the point where I just left it flat on a table. We checked and we made sure nothing was around it. At one point, it had gone off and I was able to debunk it, saying that it was right by an internet router. Another time it went off, but oh, well, I'm holding it next to my phone. So, you know, we were able to debunk those things. Well, it was just on the table. All of a sudden, it would just shoot up to red, which is unusual and was weird, but we do have that on video. And I can't believe we forgot to say that, but that's fine. So then we went back down. We're doing the EVP. Temperature is now at 62 degrees. And we're going and we're asking some stuff. So we're going to put this one in here because in this one I asked, were you former residents of the mansion? And to me, what I feel like I'm hearing is like a little kid being like, uh-huh. Like, and that's what it sounds like clear as day. And I first heard it, I was driving my car and I almost got into a car accident. It just sounds to me like, uh-huh. And again, the first group who was there, they claimed to have found some young girls' spirits down there. So I thought that could be them. But also, there were some tummy rumbles going on. There, again, were a lot of people moving around. So, again, we're going to leave this one up to you. What do you think?
Can you make the light bulb go off or flicker? Are you the ones who caused that white noise Sarah heard in the middle of the night? Do you know your dad? Were you residents of the original mansion? Were you slaves escaping on the Underground Railroad? Were you servants here? Okay, we're gonna go upstairs now.
I say stomach rumbling.
I don't know. I still don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% on this. Maybe I just want to believe.
Maybe.
I just want to believe. But then as we're going through and doing it, and right around the time I asked that question, James had been taking photos of me. And at one point he kind of stops and he's like, "What is that?" Because, and what it was, is if you have, I believe he has like an iPhone 6 or an iPhone 5, and it has that face recognition software where it like puts the square around your face as you're taking the photo. And he's, you know, he was taking photos of me, and he took a fair amount of photos of me while we were doing this. All of a sudden, as he's going, it picks up like multiple like face recognitions, like multiple squares showed up on his camera as if like someone else were standing next to me, and no one was.
There were, however, behind you all of those really rad dots on the wall. And I was wondering, as we were watching the video, was his camera picking up on those dots on the wall as perhaps those were other faces? Because they were roughly the same size as a head.
Yeah, but when he pointed out where it was, he was pointing more along the lines of the washer machines that were behind me.
Like there were kids sitting on the washing machine? Hanging out with you for a minute?
Like standing next to me, head equal with the washer machine.
Okay.
That was interesting. From there, we went back upstairs. I had some holy wood on me, which I usually do. Did a little blessing of their bedroom, because I know they were a little nervous about that. I think that was it. Do we have anything else?
Well, there was the wallpaper issue in the bedroom, too.
Yeah, so the wallpaper in the bedroom, as I was in there, it was, like, pretty stained, just, like, a little bit in these certain spots. And I thought it was weird because it, like, went through these young women's faces. And I have some photos of it I took. And for whatever reason, it just stuck out to me. I was drawn to it. It was just to the energy of the wallpaper. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was really weird the way the faces were kind of, like, blotted out on there. And it was directly over the center of the bed. So I thought that was kind of cool, too. That's all I got on that.
I wonder if that had something to do with the Endicott kids, too.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have liked to have talked to some of the kids who lived there.
Yeah.
See what their stories were. So one of the other things that Sarah had shared with us at some point during the night when we were there is that there was a woman who lived there before her, and she was a nurse, she said, and her daughter played with the little ghost who lived there.
Yes.
And said that the girl ghost name was Agatha?
Yep. And there was another neighbor who had a dog who they claimed it looked like the dog was playing fetch with someone, but nothing was there. They also thought it was a ghost. The neighbor directly next door also said he experienced a lot of paranormal stuff. And at one point, he just told them to stop and go away and leave him alone. And they have. Which, if you think you have a friendly little ghost who's just kind of driving you nuts, that's actually very effective. Just yell at it and tell it enough. I don't mean you any harm. I can't deal with this. You're really scaring me. I don't want you around me. Please stop. Set boundaries. 2019, set your boundaries. So after our investigation, As we do, I went online and started to try to research, see if I could find anything at all on this property. Interestingly, and I really thought I was going to find a lot. With this one, usually I'm like, yeah, hit or miss. This one, I really thought I was going to find a lot, and I didn't really find anything at all outside of the fact that the Endicott kids really trashed it very badly.
College kids.
I know.
Aren't you glad that they're all home for the summer now?
Yes, always. So, yeah, anything else on that, Beth? Any final thoughts?
I definitely think that there was a ghost in the house. I don't have any sort of, like, proof positive that I can point to other than the fact that I could feel it. Like, I could feel its presence, and it touched me. I know it's there, but it's not a mean ghost. It's not looking to cause them any harm. So I'm really interested in that thing that you said earlier about really tall thermal images are demons. So I'm not sure about that because I didn't, let me put all my thoughts together. I didn't feel like there was anything negative in the end of the house that Sarah and Mike live in, that all was well, it was just a friendly ghost hanging out down there.
Yes.
I definitely took two lessons away from this particular ghost hunt. The first one is that we had way too many people there. And five people is five people's nervous energy. And we couldn't all keep quiet. And as soon as one person would whisper, somebody would respond to it. And you're like, what are you saying? Like, and it all kind of added up and we couldn't get good, clear recordings. The second thing that I took away from it is that old houses have lots of weird basement stuff. This particular house had a cast iron central vacuuming system that I don't even know when central vacuuming systems were a thing.
But I have no idea. I was very confused too.
It was huge and it was very cool looking, I have to admit.
Yes.
It was just, I'd never seen something like that before. They also had in one of the rooms a very old laundry press. It took a few minutes of looking at it to figure out what exactly it was, but it was like an old style, like they would have had to put the clothes in one side of it after they'd been washed and wring them through to press all the wrinkles out of them for the folks who lived upstairs in the house proper there. And also, Amelia wasn't kidding. There must have been 12 toilets in the basement, and only one of them was actually hooked up to do anything. It was like whenever a toilet...
And it had ducks on it.
Whenever a toilet had to be replaced, like instead of like smashing it up and putting it out in the trash, they put it in the basement.
Which has nothing to do with ghosts. It's just, it's interesting. It's just interesting.
It's just odd.
We're just, you know, pointing out something interesting.
Yeah. Old houses have weird basement stuff.
Yes.
So anything else for this week?
We got a review.
Oh, we got a review.
Okay, so this week we actually got a really cool review. It is from Tyler Ventura. Thank you so much, Tyler. 5 stars on iTunes. Another friend from the Unbelievers. Thank you, guys. Amelia and Beth are both a pleasure to listen to. Their interviews with ghost hunters are super fascinating and exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the tech side of things and as well as how groups go about their investigations. Love it all. Keep up the good work. Cool. Thanks so much, Tyler. I really appreciate that. That was an awesome one to get.
So I have some contact information. As usual, we still have our Facebook page and our Instagram, Ghost Hunting in New England. We are on Twitter at Ghost Hunting NE. You can check out our website, www.ghosthuntinginnewengland.com, or you can email us, ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com.
We want to say a huge thank you this week to Aaron Shilb. Thank you so much for making our intro music. We still love it. And you guys can find him online. He's on Instagram at Aaron Schill. Please check out his new band, The Dirt Road Degenerates, down in Nashville, Tennessee, if you happen to be down that way.
And of course, a huge thank you to Sarah and Mike for having us out to their house and letting us walk around and take pictures and record and giving us all the information that we needed in order to put together an episode for tonight.
Yes, and thank you to James for connecting all of us together. That was really cool. And if you have a friend with a haunted house, please reach out because we'd love to go investigate it. Okay, so I think that's all for this week. If you like us, please subscribe to our podcast. Please, this week, I think your focus should just be on telling a friend about our podcast. Just let someone know.
Ooh, I like that.
Just tell a friend, one friend. You know, we're heading out. It's time for road trip time and going away time. And just pick up that aux cord and tell a friend about our spooky little podcast. And if you would be so kind, please, please, please leave us a 5-star review. We appreciate it so much. Just make sure if you don't like what you're hearing and you don't think we deserve a 5-star review, please let us know what we could do to change your mind.
Via an email or a private message, don't leave us a 1-star review. That's hurtful.
That is hurtful, and it's just rude.
And when you go to a restaurant, folks, make sure when you get to the counter, you have your money.
Have it out. Have it ready. None of this, I got to go to my car, I got to do this, I got to do that. No.
Or even better, like it's somehow a surprise, you have to pay for your food.
Yeah. Nope. Just have it out. Have it ready to go.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll see you next week.
Happy hunting.
Life can be stressful, and self-care is important. Relax and get balanced with Manipura Body & Mind's collection of Reiki-infused bath and skincare products. Bath and shower bombs, body scrubs, lip balms, and so much more, made with real essential oils and 100% vegan ingredients. Handcrafted by Reiki Masters in Belmont, Massachusetts, and always made with love. Buy online at ManipuraBodyAndMind.com. That's Manipura, M-A-N-I-P-U-R-A, BodyAndMind.com.